Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news as Bruno Guimarães apparently snubs a move to Manchester United. De Zerbi manager talks will be held this week. And also, United linked to two new midfield targets, both pretty young. We'll talk about that as well. A raft of news that's coming in this morning as we start another week. And as we start what I think has to be a big 2 weeks for Manchester United. We'll get into that, of course. But with the manager and the transfer situation, this is a huge opportunity for United and they need to be moving forward. But look, we'll start off with this story that is coming in from Newcastle sources. Newcastle Chronicle, which is a local paper, are saying Bruno Guimarães remains committed to Newcastle despite strong links with a summer exit. Man United have been heavily linked, but the midfielder is settled in the northeast. So effectively, this would be a snub to the supposed advanced or talks that Manchester United have held with Bruno Guimarães, as the Newcastle Chronicle is saying that Guimarães is committed to staying at Newcastle and is settled in Newcastle. I mean, I don't know whether this is the Newcastle Chronicle or the Christmas Chronicles, because it sounds total fantasy to me. I mean, it's absolute rubbish. I call fake news. You know what this is? You know what this is? It's bloody fantasy from Newcastle again. They keep doing this. On the one hand, they're shouting Eddie Howe out. This is a terrible season. We finished mid-table, blah, 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 blah. It's not good enough. And on the other hand, Bruno Guimarães, one of the best midfielders in Europe, is really happy to stay in Newcastle in the shit show that they are at the moment. I mean, come on. You can't have your cake and eat it. You can't moan about how crap your season's been and then put it out there that Bruno Guimarães is really happy. Newcastle Chronicle, Christmas bloody Chronicles, they're making it up. They're living in bloody fantasy land. They're getting Santa to write bloody letters. Absolute joke. I mean, it's a nonsense. It's an absolute nonsense. All this is, and we must call it out, all this is panic from Newcastle as Anthony Gordon gets linked to Liverpool. Everybody wants Lewis Hall. Tonali's wanted. Bruno Guimarães is wanted. They're going to face decimation of their team because they messed up and they didn't get Champions League football again. So they're trying to say, well, you know what? Bruno Guimarães loves Newcastle Brown Ale. He loves the bridge. He loves Anton Deck. He loves the colours black and white. He loves Newcastle. And he's actually Newcastle born and bred, even though he's Brazilian. He loves it. There's nothing that would make him happier than playing for a mid-table club next year. And look, I respect Newcastle. I feel that they've had too many games with a squad that can't deal with it. I think they are hindered by how much they can spend, and I think it's a bit unfair. But the reality is, he has held talks with Manchester United through his agent, and he is going to want to leave in the summer because Newcastle aren't going to offer a 28-year-old Champions League football, and we will. So what I think you've got here is Newcastle, and they've got a very big habit of doing this. Another episode of Geordie Shore, yeah. They've got a very big habit of doing this at Newcastle, where they don't like the fact that Manchester United is bigger than Newcastle United. Oh, Sesko won't choose Manchester United over Newcastle United because we've got Champions League football and Eddie Howe, and he did. He chose a club that finished 15th under Amorim over Newcastle, who were in the Champions League, because it's Manchester United. And we are a bigger pool than them. And I think what you've got here is stories like this about Bruno Guimarães being settled. And I'm sure there'll be a Northeast correspondent piping up again, just like there was with Sesko. I forget his name. Gobbing off. Oh, aye, and all that. The reality is, I like Newcastle. I've always liked Newcastle. I like them under Kevin Keegan. I like them under Eddie Howe. Respect. But it's not our problem that you're not in Europe next season. And you've got players who deserve Champions League football. So they will look to move if they can. It's the circle of football. That's the way it works. If you're saying that he is settled I say bullshit. I say that is about respect from Bruno Guimarães for a club that he likes. As a first stage of a transfer, he's saying, look, I'm not going to start pushing for a move, but I want to move. And also, from Newcastle's point of view, if he's settled, you can try and push the price up a little bit. We saw this with Harry Maguire at Leicester. Leicester took us for £80 million because Harry Maguire never said a word publicly. He was just, let Leicester and Man United sort it out. I'm settled in Leicester. We never had the Harry Maguire transfer request. We never had the Harry Maguire, I'm going on strike. It was just, I'm not getting involved. I respect Leicester. Let Leicester and Man United sort it out. And they took us for £80 million. So look, I think that's all this is. I call fake news. I do not think that Bruno Guimarães is settled in Newcastle and staying at Newcastle. Not for one minute do I think that's going to happen. So I think that we've clearly held talks and we need to advance on those talks. I mean, I think if we can get this deal in the bag early, it benefits us massively because we have a very experienced, very passionate, very good Premier League proven midfielder to replace Casemiro in the bag before the World Cup. I also think it helps Newcastle because, as I said before, we can't buy every decent midfielder this summer and the Premier League is awash with good Premier League midfielders. So even if Newcastle did let Bruno Guimarães go and they let Tonali go, I can buy you two midfielders straight away that will make you good next season. Manu Kone, Alex Scott, James Garner, João Gomes. There's so many good. Angelo Stiller might fancy Newcastle. Who knows? You took Walter Mader from Stuttgart. Why not have a go for Stiller? You know, there's plenty of good options for Newcastle, but it's not my job to go chasing them. But Newcastle just need to grow up a little bit. You've had a crap season. You're not in the Champions League. You've got players that probably want to go in the Champions League. You'll get decent money for them. Applaud them, thank them, and move on, and build a team that can stay in the Champions League. You know, so I don't. I'm not worried about this at all. Bruno Guimarães transfer snub. He's happy at Newcastle. Let's wait and see. Let's wait and see what happens. And also, let's wait and see what happens anyway, because maybe Elliot Anderson fancies Man United, and we don't go for Bruno G anyway. You know, people need to remember, we're being treated like a bloody mug here. You know, you've got this outrage that we've spoken to Bruno Guimarães, his agent. Oh, he doesn't want to go. He's going to snub you. Well, hold on a minute. We're not walking up to the bloody Tyne or whatever it is and, you know, asking Gazza to negotiate for us. You know, we might have other options on the table and we bloody will. Maybe we've spoken to Bruno Guimarães and gone, we really like you. But maybe we're going to speak to Elliot Anderson this week. Maybe we're going to speak to Adam Wharton. Maybe we're going to have a look at what suits us best and make the right decision. So I'm very relaxed about this. I like the signing of Bruno Guimarães. I think Tonali is going to be a bloody nightmare. I'm not convinced he wants to come to Manchester United. I'm not convinced Man United would pay over £80 million. And I'm not convinced Newcastle would make that very easy. But I think Bruno Guimarães is a straightforward deal. And if we're going to sign two midfielders, getting him in number one, I'd be very happy with. So, yeah, Newcastle Chronicle, Christmas Chronicles. Very good film, actually, with Kurt Russell in it. But complete and utter fantasy. It's got Santa in it, which is the same thing that the Newcastle Chronicles got in it. It should be bloody written by Santa because it's a wish list. It's not real. Saying he's settled and doesn't want to move is just a way of Newcastle pushing up the price. It's basically a way of signing, saying pay up if you want him, says Patrick Lynch. Absolutely. And look, some of you might not be old enough to remember this, but when Ronaldo left Man United for Real Madrid, literally the day before we played Barcelona in that final, he was talking about being settled and staying at Man United. And within 2 weeks, he'd signed for Real Madrid. So, yeah, I do need a shave. Breaking news, Castello says, how about having a shave? Thanks for being a member. I desperately need a shave. I feel like it's horrible. I do need a shave this morning. Well done. I've got Baller League later. Links in the live chat for the live stream. Second game week. I had my leather jacket look last week. I've got a different look this week and I will be having a shave. So thank you very much. If we get Bruno Guimarães, I guess that means no Tonali, says One Inch Wonder. Thanks for your super chat. I don't think for 1 minute that we would get Bruno Guimarães and Tonali. I don't think for 1 minute we'd get two players out of Newcastle. I was talking about that yesterday on the watch along on That's Football. How many times do you see a club buy two players from one club in one summer?
It doesn't happen very often, especially in the Premier League. I think there was some examples of Burnley doing it, of Everton doing it, taking Tarkovsky and McNeil. I think Man City did it one summer, didn't they, with Cliche and Nasri. I think Arsenal did it with Shevchenko and Jesus. We obviously did it with Mazraoui and Dalit, but yeah, I don't think it's going to happen, if I'm being completely honest. But look, we don't have to buy a Newcastle player. Like, I think in some ways, we're almost giving Newcastle too much credit. Like, we want to buy one of your players. If you don't want to sell him, it's not that deep. We'll move on. It's not that obsessive. I mean, I'd like Lewis Hall. I'd like Anthony Gordon. I'd like Bruno Guimaraes. I'd like Tonali. I'd like Livramento. They've got some good players. But I don't want all of them. And if we don't get any of them, there's plenty more fish in the sea. But ultimately, they've finished mid-table. They lost to Sunderland yesterday. They're crap in the Premier League. They're not going to be in the Champions League. They might not be in Europe at all. They're in big, big trouble. They're going to have to sell because players are going to want to leave. And it's the same as what I said about Chelsea last night. Players are going to want to leave clubs that aren't heading in the right direction. What's Newcastle's future? What's Chelsea's future? What's Liverpool's future? We're not buying a Liverpool player, but there's a few clubs in the Premier League this season that have fell on their arse. And we've benefited, and Villa have benefited. I look at that race for top four, and I think, okay, applaud, well done, but we've got issues in our team, and somehow we're third. That's because Chelsea, Liverpool and Newcastle have fell off a cliff and it's opened a door that us and Villa have walked into. So, look, there are other clubs at the moment that I think are in a worse position than us. Bluegate says, I don't think Bruno will leave Newcastle. Maybe he won't do, mate. Maybe he won't do. But I'd hazard a guess that he will. Well, I'm not even guessing. I'd say he probably wants to go. It's his last big contract. He's out of contract in 2 years. Do you think Newcastle are going to drop him a big contract? If Newcastle drop him a big contract, maybe his loyalty to Newcastle is there. And I, for one, would applaud that. But he's out of contract in 2 years' time. He's 28. His contract runs out in 2028. I don't know what his wage is at Newcastle, but let's say it's, I don't know, what is Bruno G wage at Newcastle? Let's guess. He's on 160 grand a week at Newcastle. He's going to go to about 200 grand a week at Man United, if we're being honest. And are Newcastle going to give him 200 grand a week? So he can stay at Newcastle, not playing Europe, on 160 grand a week and watch his contract run down. Or he can sign for Man United on 200 grand a week, play Champions League football and have a longer contract. I think he'll leave. Daniel Thompson says, hi, Mark and United staff. But, before I move on, stop myself. Let's not forget as well, Newcastle fans rightly are losing their shit about this. But hold on a minute. We might not buy him. We might not buy him. The big thing is, I don't think there's a United fan out there saying, we're definitely going for Bruno Guimaraes. I think there's some people like myself going, I think he'd be a good signing. But hold on a minute. We don't buy players over 26. We don't like spending over 60 million. And he is, you know, he might not be the midfielder we want. Hi, Mark. United Stan, hope you're well. I think Newcastle must be put on the radio and Kylie was there, as it sounds like they're spinning around with those reports. I'm hopeful on Bruno G and hopeful on Tonali. Game two, let's go to work up the Gold Devils. Thank you, Daniel. Looking forward to it tonight. Hope you're doing well. New Wilcox transfer policy, sign players called Bruno and hope for the best, says One Inch Wonder. Thank you very much. Okay, let's move on because the second story I wanted to talk about this morning, there is a little bit about Christos Mouzakatis, who plays for Olympiakos. Lots of people talking about him over the last 24 hours. We are going to talk about him. Also, an update on another young midfielder as well. But reports coming in this morning that Manchester United do have Roberto De Zerbi high on their managerial shortlist and that they will be holding talks with him over this international break. Now, look, it's obviously put some people into a bit of a spin. Go and work for Newcastle. no, seriously. It's put some people into a bit of a meltdown. I actually think this is a positive. And before people start moaning, I think this is a real positive that we're going to hold talks with De Zerbi because it means that we're doing the thing we need to do. We cannot just give it to Carrick. We can give it him in the summer once we've interviewed other people, but we can't just give it to Carrick without interviewing other people. And the point of interviewing people is, obviously, you want to interview Enrique. You want to interview Nagelsmann. You want to interview good managers. But you also need to interview shit managers as well. You need to interview a wide range to realise what's not good enough and appreciate what is. So interviewing De Zerbi for the job, I actually don't have a problem with it, because if he comes in with some good ideas, it enhances the managerial pool. If he comes in and you realise he's not the guy, it makes you realise what you do need. So I haven't got a problem with this. A managerial process should be diverse in relation to options. There might be a couple of free agents like De Zerbi that you look at. There might be a couple of people that are very hard to get that you look at. Obviously, Carrick's in post, you look at him. So a best-in-class recruitment process of a manager must incorporate multiple strands. And De Zerbi was somebody that we wanted to give the job after the FA Cup final, sacking Ten Hag. It was going to be De Zerbi or Tuchel, and they both ended up not getting the job because they rejected it, apparently. So he's obviously high on the Ineos list. They obviously like De Zerbi. I don't know why, but they obviously do. So interview him. Interview him. It's absolutely fine. I don't mind. I would rather we started interviewing people this international break than not interview anyone at all. To me, it's concerning. And I go back to what Ben Jacobs said to Beth last Thursday. Man United have basically done the internal process on the manager. It's now the time to start doing the external process and start speaking to managers. And we as fans must embrace this. We mustn't be scared of this. Obviously, we can comment on it. We can debate about it. But this is actually positive. It's good news that we're starting to talk to managers. Because my fear is that we're going to wait till the end of the season to do it, which is too late. Or we weren't going to do it at all and say, do you fancy the job, Michael, without interviewing anyone? Which for me is catastrophic. It's Ollie all over again. Carrick can have the job if he interviews better than everybody else and they decide to give it him. That's on them. But you've got to interview other candidates, because you're basically going to give the job to somebody that is an inexperienced coach, effectively. And an inexperienced coach is somebody that, you know, doesn't have a lot of experience. And if United, Michael Owen in the chat, but if you interview Carrick and he tells you what he's going to do, and then you interview De Zerbi and he's on a different level, you realise Carrick's not the guy. If you interview Carrick and you interview De Zerbi and you realise Carrick's better than him, then it helps Carrick. So I think it's a real positive. I really, really do. In relation to interviewing managers in this international break. What I also want to see is, how do we interview or speak to Nagelsmann? How do we approach Enrique? Do we approach Emery? Do we approach, you know, another manager? I don't know. But I absolutely applaud the club for this sort of stuff over this next couple of weeks. I absolutely do. I've got no issue at all with Man United holding talks with De Zerbi, interviewing De Zerbi. And as fans, I think we need to be a little bit mature, because it's going to be better for us as a football club to interview as many prospects as possible and do a thorough process. Because what I want to do is, if they get it wrong, I want to go, these people are absolute shite at their job, and look at the mess they've made again. But they will get that shit anyway. They need to interview as many people as possible. Absolutely. Any good business explores every option before making a decision, says Michael Doherty. Exactly. And thank you for being a member for 40 months. Do you want De Zerbi, Mark? Let me read this super chat from once. He says, the biggest positive with De Zerbi is, unlike a lot of managers, he's more than willing to resign when he's doing badly at a team. Do I want De Zerbi? Look, he's not as bad as people think. Like, he did do relatively well at Marseille, and he did do relatively well at Brighton. My issues with De Zerbi are really quite tame. I just think at Brighton, he was really one-dimensional. Like, he wouldn't change how he played. So, let's say Brighton were at Anfield. They're playing out from the back. They go 3-0 down after 20 minutes. He wouldn't look at it and go, how do I change this game around? He'd go, let's keep playing out from the back. And I remember one of his interviews where he said, I'd rather play football the way I want to play than win trophies. And I'm like, that's not Man United. I want to play good football. I do want to play good football, but I also want a tactically adaptable manager who ultimately understands that Man United is about playing good football, but it's also about winning trophies as well. And sometimes in a 90-minute game, you can change and then go back to what you want to do in the next game. But you've got to change. You've got to be able to change in the game. And I don't think that the Zerbi's like that. Look, in some ways, you could level that at Steve Holland and Michael Carrick. I think we saw against Newcastle the inability to deal with 10 men. I think we saw against Everton, even though we won, the inability to adapt to how Newcastle were playing. And we just got that one breakaway and we scored. I think we saw against Bournemouth as well, an inability to take opportunities when they were so wide open. And then obviously against West Ham and the low block, we had an inability to break the low block. So I think we definitely need an experienced coach who has a proven track record of being tactically adaptable. And there's plenty out there, but I don't think De Zerbi fits into that for me. He's not shown enough tactical fluidity. So he wouldn't be a choice. I mean, whether he's better than Carrick or not, obviously you could say he is better than Carrick, but at least Carrick's got a bit of knowledge about Man United. So for me, I don't want Carrick anyway. You know, at the moment, I'm like, I wouldn't give the job to Carrick. I know some people would give him a contract now. I wouldn't give him a contract now, but I wouldn't rule him out. I just want him to be part of a really good managerial process where he is actually interviewed as well. Carrick's interview should not be what he's done as an interim. I think this is a really important thing before we talk about the other transfer stories. Michael Carrick should be interviewed for this job. And in that interview, he should be asked about his coaching style, his adaptability, his plans for the next 2 to 3 years, where he sees Man United going, how we're going to play. Like, he needs to be scrutinised in a proper interview. If you give him the job on this interim period, what basis is that on? Results? Like, what have we seen in the last few weeks that makes us know what we're going to be next season? Are we playing like this next year? Are you going to change it? What's your best 11? Where do you think the weaknesses are in the team? Who do you want to keep? Who do you want to bring in? So he must be interviewed. The interview cannot be the interim. And this is the mistake we made with Ollie. We gave him a job based on an interim manager CV. And we had no idea what his plan for the future was or what he wanted to do. So look, Carrick must be interviewed to understand what his actual projections and visions are for the future anyway. What about Cesc Fabregas? Doesn't feel right, does it? Just doesn't feel right. It's a bit like Xabi Alonso. Just doesn't roll off the tongue in the right way because of the Liverpool and Arsenal attachments. Olu says, this squad lacks the flair players Enrique will need. I mean, look, Enrique may well snub Man United. I mean, look, I saw something today. Look, Melper says Luis Enrique is the guy, but getting him from PSG, I just can't see it. I don't know whether him still being in the Champions League with PSG makes him more likely to leave, or whether if he'd been knocked out by Chelsea, it makes him more likely to leave. I don't know. The thing with Luis Enrique is it's really easy. You ask the question, and if he says no, it's over. If you ask the question and he says maybe, you got a chance. And you need to answer the question. You need to ask the question. Because if it's a flat no, then it's over. But from the interviews he's done so far, i.e. ahead of the Chelsea game, I don't think it's a flat no. Reminds me a little bit of Pep. Is Pep staying? Is he going? And with Enrique, it feels a little bit like that. But look, I actually saw somebody today saying, like, trying to create a debate of should it be Carrick or Enrique? And I thought, just go and analyse a different sport. If you genuinely have a conversation about Carrick or Enrique, you're a problem. I'm sorry. It's like saying David Moyes or Pep Guardiola. Like, there are certain conversations where it's just ridiculous. Like, Enrique or Carrick? Fucking hell, come on. Are you being serious? Like, of course it's Enrique. But he might not be gettable. He might not be gettable. And I do agree that if you get Enrique, he's going to want some flair. Is there flair in that team? There's more flair in that team than you think. If you bring Diamande in, I think Enrique would love him. I think Dorgu's got huge potential. I think you've still got people like Ahmad. You've got Lacey coming through. JJ Gabriel could be a very exciting player for him. So I think we do have flair in that team, but we also need to add some flair as well. He might look at Man United and say, are you having a laugh? No way. In which case, it's over. But, you know, it's a good point from Olu, certainly. Connor says, the way Glinios have been recently, I seriously don't see us doing any early business in regards to players or managers, and it chills me to my bones, says Connor. Thanks very much for your super chat. And Patrick Lynch says, do we even have the players to play how De Zerbi wants to play? Are they willing to invest in the players he needs? Based on the past, the answer is no. Yeah, and I think that's going to be a really interesting point. Because whether it's Enrique, De Zerbi, Nagelsmann, you would need to back those managers with money to bring their players in. With Carrick, how does he want to play? It can't be like this. If we're going to play like this, then you don't need to spend a lot of money. But it can't be this. It can't be counter-attacking football. It's boring. And it's got no future twice a week. So whoever comes in, you've got to spend money. You have to. We don't know what Carrick's vision is. He might want to play a different way. He might just be using what he's got, which is tactically adaptable. So they will need to spend money. But as I've said before, I think this week's really interesting because we know from Friday night that Manchester City are in advanced talks with Elliot Anderson. And not talks, advanced talks. We're in talks with Bruno Guimaraes. Man City are in advanced talks with Elliot Anderson. We need to respond to that. If we use this international break in the way that we need to, we'll be interviewing managers and we'll be speaking to players. If we don't interview managers and we don't speak to players, there may be trouble ahead because we have to be doing it. We're the only club that's got an interim coach in the top six. We're the only club in the top six that needs a whole new midfield and fullbacks. Liverpool needs to do stuff. Chelsea need to do stuff. They might change their managers, but they don't need a whole new midfield and they don't need two fullbacks and they're not being managed by interim. So the prospect of United spending the March international break doing nothing, when you put it like that, is ridiculous. So I just can't see it. I think we've got to do it. Thank you very much. Patrick Lynch says, I've done that one from Patrick. Thank you. Ray Carl Brown Amore, hope you're doing well. Thanks for your super chat this morning. Legend of the community says, De Zerbi reminds me of Amorim. Stubborn in his system and will be moaning about formation again, I feel. Yeah, he is. Well, he is very, very stubborn. Very, very stubborn. And Dave the Brave, thanks for your super chat. He says, love Enrique, but I don't see it. Imagine being a fly on the wall when he's trying to talk football with Ineos. It will literally go over their heads. And Blame Shifter, thanks for your super chat, says manager and player talks are great. Are we forgetting the elephant in the room? The owner is all just about spin. Yeah, but even if, you know what, Blame Shifter? Even if they are about spin, I know, and you know, from previous Man United quarterly shareholder meetings, there is a category on social interaction. Now, we're not in Europe. This time last year, you had Lyon, you had European games that captured the imagination. They don't have Europe. They need to sell season tickets. We don't know who the manager is. We don't know who we're going to sign. We're not in Europe to make people excited right here, right now. We've not qualified for the Champions League yet. So look, people will renew their season tickets, but United live on their oxygen is being spoken about. They're the ones who've got to create that. And they don't even have to make it up. They don't even have to make it up. They should be talking to players and they should be talking to managers. And that generates excitement. That generates conversation. And they need that. Where and how would you rank Maresca compared to the other names? Do you think he's a bit overrated, says Once. I think Maresca's an interesting one. I mean, I think the... I want to talk about this transfer stuff around the young lad and Sandro. But I think with Maresca, I think the feeling is he's going to Chelsea. He's going to Manchester City. And, you know, I listened to what Enzo Fernandez has said about Maresca. They were clearly disappointed that he left. He was doing quite well. I mean, look, he did quite well at Chelsea. I mean, look, Maresca to me is a weird one because... He never really excited me when he went from Leicester to Chelsea. But Manchester City seemed to want him. So where would I put Maresca in the Carrick, Enrique, De Zerbi, Eddie Howe, Glasner debate. I'd probably put him ahead of, I would put him ahead of Carrick, but I'd put him ahead of De Zerbi. He's managed the big club. I mean, look, I think he's the sort of manager that could bring stability and experience to the club. And let's not forget, this could be the next Man City manager. So, yeah. I just don't see a future with Carrick. It's risky. It's his bear. Thank you very much. Thanks for that. Okay, let's move on a little bit. This is a story that's been floating around all weekend. And it's an interesting one because I've actually seen a lot of people talking about him. I saw a post from an account called Rising Gems. And I'm going to read, it's a good account, give it a follow, but I'm going to read what they've said about him. So Manchester United have been linked to Christos Mazakitis, who plays for Olympiakos. He's 19 years of age. So reading directly what Rising Gems has said, this is another textbook Christopher Val play. Mazakitis is the definition of a high upside developmental profile. Getting him through the door now would be like buying the dip on a world-class asset. At 19, he's already won the 2025 Golden Boy Web Award, which tells you everything about the hype surrounding him in Greece. He isn't just a prospect. He's already a senior Greek international and a Champions League regular. Honestly, this would be a top signing, even as a third or fourth option for a developmental role. In terms of playing style, he thrives in the central midfield role, often as a deep-lying playmaker or an energetic number eight who bridges defence and attack. He's got a keen eye for a progressive pass, breaking lines, accurate balls from deep, and isn't afraid to carry the ball forward under pressure. His movement off the ball is intelligent. He positions himself well to receive the ball in half spaces, creating overloads and exploiting gaps in opposition setups. Defensively, he's tenacious without being reckless, using his anticipation to intercept and disrupt, though he's not the most aerially dominant at 5'10". Technically, his first touch is reliable and he handles the ball with composure in tight areas. He's like a more mobile version of an early career Jorginho, but with added dynamism. His strengths lie in his work rate and decision making. He's a high volume tackler who recovers possession effectively. So look, I like this sort of thing. So I do like this sort of thing. And I think it's interesting that we have profiled a player like this. I can't pronounce his name for the love of money, but he can't be signing one or two. It can't be Bruno G and this lad. But if you got, let's say, Elliot Anderson, João Gomes and him, I'll be over the moon. I agree with Harry. If this guy was the third midfielder, we're having a disco. I think we need three midfielders. I've been saying three midfielders for about 6 months. We need three midfielders. Casemiro's gone. Ugarte's gone. If you buy two, you're just replacing what's gone. And we were a midfielder short anyway. You look at our midfield at the moment. We've got Mainoo, Ugarte and Casemiro. And we're screwed. How many games over the last few weeks have we gone, Casemiro looks tired, Mainoo's not had a great game, Ugarte comes on, it's not enough. We've got three midfielders. These people who are leaking that United might sign two midfielders, and these fans that are going, that's enough. The evidence is in front of you. At the moment, is our midfield good enough? No. We've only got three. Casemiro, Ugarte and Mainoo. That's all we've got. And Casemiro and Ugarte are going. So you bring two in, you've got the same problem. We're a man short. And yeah, you can bring a prospect in from the youth team, but a prospect should be a prospect. They shouldn't fill a role. So we need four midfielders. If we could bring this 19-year-old lad in who's Champions League experience and a Greek international and has a very interesting profile of player, you bring him in as midfielder three and add Mainoo, that makes you have four. I think it's really intelligent. I just don't know how much it would cost, but it does have Favel's fingerprints all over it. Olympiakos, I mean, I don't know what their record. Mazoukartis. There we go. Mazoukartis. You bring him in and two other midfielders and Maney, you've got four midfielders next season. And as a 19, 20-year-old, we can probably get him plenty of minutes. I mean, you want to be in a situation where maybe you start your two new signings and with 20 minutes to go, you bring Maynou and the other lad on. You know, that's what we need at Man United. So look, hopefully it can develop into something as long as it is a third signing, a third midfield signing. Because if you bring him in as the second signing, that's a big risk because it's another prospect. Also on the midfield, again, another story about Andre Santos of Chelsea, who we keep being linked to, caught offside as saying that Manchester United will face competition from West Ham and Juventus in the race to sign Chelsea midfielder Andre Santos. Now, I remember Ben Jacobs was saying last week that Chelsea don't necessarily want to sell him. Chelsea might need to sell players. That's why they buy young players, so they can sell them. It always makes me laugh when Chelsea aren't selling players and yet their transfer policy is clearly to sell players. You don't buy exclusively players under 23 and then not sell them. So they're going to sell some players. I just think with Chelsea, as I said last night, is that the best you can get out of Chelsea? And look, again, we might offend Chelsea fans here, but again, you're in a similar position to Newcastle. You might not be in Europe at all next season. And there will be players that want to leave. So Man United, this is how it works. We've mentioned Spurs. We've mentioned Newcastle. I think the same with Chelsea. If they have a bad season, then we should be looking at what we can get out of there. I mean, respect, fine. But ultimately, there might be a good deal that we can do. Does Santos excite me? No. I think that that Greek lad as a third midfielder next to two good midfield signings would be a good idea. Santos as our second midfielder? No, it doesn't do. As I say, the midfield market is so full of talent that we should be buying two good midfielders and a prospect third. That makes sense to me. So if you want to get Santos as your third midfielder, fine. But Chelsea ain't going to let him go cheap anyway, so it won't work. But Santos can only come to Man United if he's the second midfielder. And he ain't good enough to be the second midfielder. The second midfielder for me has got to be a starter. These have got to be two starting. And also that's important as well. We need to buy two starting midfielders. We can't buy a bench player. We need to buy two starting midfielders because we're going to be short in midfield next season anyway. And effectively, we're two injuries away from at the moment in midfield from crisis. If we had an injury to Maynou and Ugarte now, we'd be in crisis. So if we're replacing Ugarte and Casemiro by default next year, if we have two injuries, we're in crisis. So we need three. We definitely need three. Let's say Carrick leaves and gets the Spurs job, says Daniel, who takes the team until the end of the World Cup. I'd be happy with Tonali, Anderson and Diamande quality. Carrick is not going to leave Manchester United to take the Spurs job. No, he won't. He won't. He's more a Man United player than he is a Spurs player. He might take the Spurs job in the summer if he doesn't get the Man United job, but he's not going to leave Man United to take the Spurs job now. Absolutely not. And I tell you what, if he knocked on the door and said, if you don't give me the job, I'm off to Spurs, I'd say, tell me how it goes. I mean, he ain't going to go. He ain't going to go. Anderson and Bruno G is my dream midfield, says Olu, and I'd be very happy with that myself. City wanted Amrim too. Not every manager City want is good, says Max. Yeah, I think that's a bad take though, Max, because Ruben Amrim taking the Man City job, he'd probably be successful. Ruben Amrim isn't at Man United anymore because he fell out with Jason Wilcox. Whether you like it or not, he fell out with Jason Wilcox. That's why he got sacked. He didn't get sacked on results like Mourinho or Ten Hag or Oli. So if Amrim had gone to Man City, he'd have had a very good director of football, he'd had a very good board, and he'd have had a very good squad. And he probably would have got the players he wanted. At Man United, he'd never even got a midfielder. So I don't think it's as simple as saying, well, let's not go for Maresca because Man City want him and they wanted Amrim. Man United's biggest problem, whoever they give the job to, is supporting them. There's no point in getting Nagelsmann and not backing him. There's no point giving it to Carrick and not backing him. They'll fail. So I think when we choose the manager, we also need to remember that will they be backed? Because there hasn't really been a manager that's been backed properly since the Glazers came to Man United. Sir Alex Ferguson didn't get backed, really. We've never really backed a manager. But look, I don't think Maresca will be considered. Bromi says, what about bringing Jose back? Well, we never should have sacked him in the first place, but I don't think we'll be bringing him back, no. Other news, apparently Harry Maguire rejected approaches from Everton, Sunderland, Tottenham and West Ham to sign for Manchester United, to stay at Manchester United. I mean, look, some people will, you know, be grabbing the tissues about that in an excited way. Some people will be grabbing their tissues in a, you know, crying way. I think that I'm not surprised that Everton and West Ham wanted Harry Maguire, but that's where I think he should have gone. Kyle Walker plays for Burnley now. Kevin De Bruyne plays for Napoli now. Gundogan went to Galatasaray, didn't he? I think that's where he is now. There becomes a point where you do go and play for Everton or West Ham because you're stepping down from the level that you're getting older. I think Maguire should have been moved on. I do. I think he should have been moved on. I think in a back four with his lack of mobility, I don't know how this is going to work next season. I like Maguire. I think he's proved himself to be a very valuable player, but I think there was a time to move on. I think there's a time for Casemiro. I think it's time for Luke Shaw. I think it's time for Harry Maguire. But we seem to have got locked into this, that they're good to have around the training ground. And I don't know that I agree with that. I really don't. In relation to a new manager, says Andy Atherton, and players, we must try for the best. Better to try and fail than fail to try. If we don't try, then Wilcox needs sacking. I completely agree. I completely agree. I think, Manchester City are in advanced talks with Elliot Anderson. I'd be furious if we're not in talks with Elliot Anderson this week. Because if we don't, we've given up. So you can't put it out there for 8 months that Elliot Anderson's your priority. See Fabrizio Romano say that Man City are in advanced talks and go, oh, let's leave that. We need to be... There needs to be a breaking story this week of Man United in talks with Elliot Anderson. There has to be. There has to be. We've put it out there happily that he is one of our number one targets. We now know that Man City are in advanced talks. We better pick up the fucking phone and have a chat. He might say no, but we need to pick that phone up. If Romano is saying that he is in talks with, that they're in advanced talks with Man City, United need to pick up that phone. And similarly with the manager, you need to pick up the phone to Enrique. If he says no, he says no. But you got to pick up the phone and you got to make a play. And also, if he says no, it can't just be, hello, do you fancy managing Man United? No? Okay, see you later. Have a good day. Bye. Good luck in the Champions League. You got to go, we want you as Man United manager. We want to make Man United the best club in England. We want to make Man United the best club in Europe. We want to do what you've done with PSG, which is an amazing thing. Nobody could do it and you've done it. We want you to be the guy that does the impossible mission. We want you to copy what you've done at PSG and Barcelona. We want you to make Man United great again. And we want to back you and support you. This is the dream job and we want you. And you've got to put that in the offer as well. You can't just be, oh, I don't think he wants us, you know. You've got to go and do it. Let me have a quick look what else is going on this morning. Oh, Ref Watch says it was a penalty. I've moved on from that, you know. I think that there's loads of decisions wrong in the PGMOL and I'm bored of it. I'm absolutely bored of it. There's been loads of decisions that have gone against us and for us. And, the weekend didn't work out that bad for us anyway. I almost feel like maybe some people don't watch That's Football. We've been talking about the PGMOL for about 3 years, and it's only when it happens to your club that people have an outrage. If it happened to Arsenal, they'd be going mad. It's happened to us, we're going mad. It actually happens to people every week, but fans won't collectively just say this is enough is enough. So this week, it's Man United fans saying, what a ridiculous decision. But we ain't got Liverpool fans and Arsenal fans and Chelsea fans and Newcastle fans saying, yeah, it's a disgrace, enough is enough. They're going, oh, I actually think it wasn't a penalty. because it just gets it gets tribalized. So at the end of the day, Man United write a letter to the PGMOL. They might say no. Next week, it'll happen to Newcastle. We'll laugh at them. They get away with this incompetence because it's always tribalized. Oh, it's United's turn this week. Of course, it was a shit decision. But it ain't going to make any difference, is it? And it'll happen to us again at some point. And it'll happen to an opposition when we play them at some point. It's just shit, inconsistent officiating. And thankfully, the weekend went our way anyway. Yeah. And we should have beaten Bournemouth without that. I don't think we played very well against Bournemouth. I thought half the team were shit. And that's been the problem the last few weeks. We've struggled. But yeah, look, move on. I want talks with managers. I want transfer talks. I'm not really bothered about the PGMOL, if I'm being honest with you. But yeah, I think collectively fans need to come together. There should be a general protest. Jacob says, I have a feeling that Ugarte stays. I mean, if Ugarte stays, he's just not good enough. I like Ugarte, but even I would say that fans have given up on him and it's very difficult to come back from that position. I also think as well, you know, a lot of people want to say that Wirtz is a flop or Frimpong's a flop, but that's year one. Ugarte, it was the same with Anthony. I think when you've been here for 2 years, you are a flop. Like, I can't remember a player being crap for 2 years and then turning it around. So I think we already know, it's a shame, but we already know Ugarte is a flop. And it's a little bit like keeping Casemiro or Maguire or Shaw. They need to be moved on because they're getting, you know, past their sell-by date. But also, it works the same with people like Ugarte. If we keep him for another year, that just shows you the lack of ambition at the football club, because at Manchester City, that wouldn't happen. 2 years, you're not good enough, you're gone. They're ruthless. But at Man United, we keep players for too long. And it's not just about keeping a 33-year-old. It's about keeping Ugarte. Like, he's had 2 years and it's not worked. And Bitter Moose says, Ugarte never gets 90 minutes. It's unfair. But you'd assume that's because he's not delivering in training, is he? You know, he's clearly not grabbing the opportunities. Xerxes, another one, 2 years, it's not worked out. You've got to move him on. So Ugarte and Xerxes, they need to be moved on this summer, in my opinion. Thank you, everybody, for watching. As always, absolute legends. Don't forget, we've got the 8 o'clock show tonight, as always, and we've got Beth on at 2. Let's see what the week brings, but I'm hoping we're going to get some really big stories because United need to grab the bull by the horns this next couple of weeks and get some advanced talks and speak to managers and start prepping for what a big summer is, because my word is Newcastle, and not because of the Bruno G story. Newcastle are a warning. This time last year, they're in the Champions League. They've got a good team. Everything looks great. 1 year later, mid-table, players want to leave. They're not going to be in Europe because they didn't have a squad to deal with 60 games. United need to be preparing. And in a summer that's going to be short, utilise this international break to get your preparatory work done, because we need to do a lot of business, and get a manager in. Take care, everyone. Stay safe. Links in the live chat for Baller League. Get there for 5 o'clock. We're playing tonight. I'll speak to you all in a bit.